Welcome to the Young and Ambitious podcast, a podcast for ambitious young people who want to master their mindset, launch a business, and make their dream life. I'm your host, Nika Moini. I am the positivity boss and Gen Z's personal growth coach. I help young people get clear on their goals and design a life they love through working on their mindset and implementing successful personal growth strategies. Let's get right into it. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Young and Ambitious podcast. Today, we have Oliver Wolf with us, who's a business strategist, sales coach, and a visionary for the Wolf Syndicate and co-founder of the Impact Network. So an entrepreneur of many trades. So thanks so much for being here with us.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
Awesome. So yeah, I mean, just tell the audience a little bit more about yourself and what you're doing right now, and then we'll get into your journey.
I've found that I'm very ambitious, which can be a gift and a curse, because it makes you want to always do more, which means you never really settle. And so sometimes I'll find myself not being super grateful for what's in the present, but I'm learning to make that a daily practice. I think gratitude is such a beautiful thing. Like when you start the day with gratitude, you just feel positive throughout the day. But it's difficult when you're always looking to do more and get more and so on and so forth. So it's been an interesting sort of challenge to balance those things. Let's see. I really love to read books. Obviously, I think that's almost intuitive for an entrepreneur these days if you're not reading books. But personally, I think it's just cool. It's a portal into the mind of someone who has done what you want to do. It's basically like taking a shortcut to success. And so I've really appreciated the paradigm shifts I've had from reading about other people's paradigms. So recently I'm reading Principles by Ray Dalio. Highly recommend. It's definitely within my top five books that I've read. And it's just beautiful, beautiful. And super, super active. Go to the gym. Got into bouldering recently. I don't know if everyone would know what that is, but it's basically rock climbing without a rope. And no, it's not 40 feet high without a rope. It's like a limited, say 10 feet or so, 10, 15 feet. But it's super challenging. And what's fun as an entrepreneur is each set of rocks that is a certain color is called a problem. And you need to try to solve the problem. And that just gets my entrepreneur mind excited. So you'll find me bouldering, solving some problems there and solving problems in the real world as well.
Awesome. Yeah, that's awesome. You're talking about entrepreneurship, entrepreneurial kind of mindset. So tell us more about how that started for you and, you know, the journey of your entrepreneurial self, I guess.
Yeah. So my journey, if you will, or story is a little bit unorthodox. I'm sure actually a lot of people sort of start in this way, but maybe don't shine light on it for many people. And so so where I am now is basically, you know, I've got my own business, multiple businesses at this point with multiple partners. And so it's a lot of fun, and it's all very genuine and stimulated by a lot of why. But what's interesting is that I came from a place what I like to call purposeless. And kind of dark. And so basically how I started my entrepreneurial journey was through drug dealing. And so that typically gets people to raise an eyebrow at first. And it's not like it's something I'm proud of, but the fact is, you know, what I did is what's made me who I am today, and I love who I am today, so I wouldn't change a thing. But basically, it's just without going into too much detail, that's where I started. But what I noticed was when I was doing it and doing it quote unquote successfully, naturally I realized two things were going to happen. Either I'd die or end up in jail. However, what I also realized was that I'm running a business, right? And I realize I have a product, and I have suppliers, and I have clients, and I have employees, and I was doing this very, very well. And so I noticed, and when I came to this realization, I asked myself, well, frig, how can I do this without breaking the law? I think it's a pretty clear thing you'd want to ask yourself. And putting two and two together, I realized I need to entirely remake myself, rebrand myself, transform, if you will, or evolve into the next level me. And so I decided to go from where I used to live, which was in Montreal, and I decided to make a big move and leave to to Ottawa to study business at University of Ottawa and such. However, what quickly happened is from that realization, I started, you know, a small little business from home called Green Tank, where we just did random services and all that kind of stuff. But when I had that realization, another one that came along, which is so important for anyone who wants to be successful in life to come into understanding, is I can do anything I set my mind to. That was a beautiful realization to have, and I'm sure you've had that as well, Nika, or you can affirm that. But and so what I've found then is, okay, well, if that's the case, let's put it to the test. And so having come to University of Ottawa, I was approached by a company called College Pro. So I'm sure a lot of people have probably heard of them. They're student window cleaners or student painters. And so in my first year of joining them, I broke the rookie record, which was, you know, they've been in the industry for 40 years. I've had franchise managers every year, many, many of them. And so I broke the rookie record. So that was an interesting way to show me, like, hey, you know what? This is true. It's not bullshit that I can actually do what I set my mind to. And many lessons started to follow, many different things that have formed the philosophy of which I follow today. But from there, other things were simply that, you know, I continued with College Pro for a second year, and I came first out of 112 franchises that second year. I worked with Vector Marketing, which was, they sold Cutco. Cutco Cutlery, which again is probably something people have heard of, where I was a sales manager and finished top sales manager in Canada and top sales rep in Canada as well. And it just consecutively, this momentum continued to build and build and build, and things continued to align until basically where I am today is, you know, I've been a coach now for about 2 years under another brand though. And I decided about 2 months ago, you know what, it's time for me to start building my legacy. It's time for me to build the thing that will outlast my life. And so I'm 26 now, and I've basically got all my focus on one primary thing, which is the Wolf Syndicate, of which is basically a collection of companies that will follow a certain set of values and principles. And of course, the Impact Network, which is a network of people where the problem we're trying to solve is the fact that there are so many incredible mentors, teachers, and instructors out there. And there are so many incredible people willing and hungry to learn. But what there's missing is the facilitation of the two coming together. And so what we want to create is that network opportunity, that network that can happen and or facilitate that, basically. So that's, I mean, I guess a sort of quick A to Z of where I'm from and where I am now. And I'm excited to see what life has to bring.
Very cool. So you had a lot of different like sales jobs. What would you say have been some of the keys to your sales success?
Mm-hmm. What are the keys to my sales success? One of the best ones that I just love giving as feedback when I coach people on sales is the fuck it mentality. And so this is a great way to approach things. So there, it's so easy to fall into the paralysis by analysis trap, right? They're like, oh, everything needs to be aligned perfectly. All the lights need to be green and so on for me to be able to take action or whatever. And it's the classic sort of fail forward thing. But the reason why I call it the fucking mentality is that when you're about to take the action or do your first sales call or do your first demonstration or whatever it is you're about to do, typically for the first time, you're gonna have so much resistance and you just need to tell yourself, fuck it. and the reason why it has to be those words is the connotation around those words is such a sense of relief. Like, we all know exactly what that means when you say that. It's just this like sort of YOLO moment, basically. And you just go for it. So that's definitely been one big thing that I've just learned, how to do the things that make me uncomfortable and to look at uncomfortability simply as a sign that this is something I need to do, because it means that I'm pushing myself outside of my comfort zone and therefore, of course, growing. So that would be one thing. Let's see, what are some other cool things? A list. Of course, please become open-minded to not only to feedback, of course, but to the fact that there are amazing people to learn from, and you need to make it your mission to learn from them, right? So one of my philosophies, I believe that the only shortcut to success is mentorship. And so if you were to do it on your own, you'd have to go through all the mistakes that everyone has already done. And so instead of doing that, please, for God's sake, just go to the people who have made the mistakes for you, and you would be amazed by how willing and open they are to share their experience. Because the fact is, they know that if they were in your shoes, they would appreciate it so much if someone shared that knowledge with them. And so because they can put themselves in your shoes, and because they're at a level now where they don't feel like they're giving away their secrets or something like that, you know, they've had their success and such, they are excited to share with you the information. And a great, amazing example, I'll actually have to give a shout out to one of my sales mentors, Jeremy DeMarchand, is a perfect example where he's a sales coach. He has a sales coaching business, and I have a sales coaching business. And I approached him and took him out for coffee, and he basically told me all of his secrets of what he does. And I'm technically a direct competitor, but really what we've come to, and he even did his own sort of a Facebook Live about this, which is the difference between competitive and collaborative. And so, although again, we'd be arguably competitors, we've found that the relationship we've built due to this openness has helped both of our businesses out. Because in the end, especially when it comes to coaching or even just any business you do, people don't buy what it is you sell, they buy you. And so the same person could approach Jeremy and I, we could have the exact same approach and such, but in the end, they're just going to go with whoever they felt the better energy with. And so I think that's, again, a very important thing is finding those mentors, being open with them, listening to them, and of course, forming your own structure or process or whatever you want to call it.
Right. No, those are some very good tips. And I would definitely echo the mentorship aspect. That's especially for young people, you know, that are starting out, that are definitely going to be making a lot of mistakes. It's really key to just be able to find someone that's done it before and is doing it well to help guide you.
Yeah, actually, and one other thing I'd like to even mention, especially because that's true, your audience is typically a younger one. I want to talk about the sort of paradigm that has been shoved down our throats through childhood, which is unfortunate. But the fact is, once you become aware, you can address it, which is that, and again, a lot of people probably get this, but school teaches us not to fail, quite literally, right? You attempt to do something, and if you fail, you get a bad grade. You are told that you are not good, or that you are stupid, or whatever it is you want to call it, and that you have to completely get held back. Like, that's literally the word they use. You are held back because you have failed. And they put such a bad stigma around the idea of failure, whereas failure is the greatest way to learn. Right? And we, as entrepreneurs, of course, have seen that. Like, there's no way in hell you're going to get everything right off. And what sucks is a lot of people are scared to start because they've been trained not to fail. They've been trained their entire life to sit down and you know, basically not take risks. And so for sure, I think that's another really big tip is just, man, not only, you know, allow yourself to fail, but like legitimately just laugh at yourself and have a good time. Like that's another, another fun tip. The amount of times where I've told myself like, oh, I'm going to screw up so bad and it's going to be hilarious. And I'm going to laugh at myself, but I don't know, a year from now, I'll probably look back and just think like, you know what, I'm grateful I did it. So just be ready to laugh at yourself.
Right. For sure. It's like never take life too seriously and never take yourself too seriously either.
Heck yeah. No, I love having fun. That's to me, another just like principle of mine is like, man, you got to have fun. Like just have fun. Mm-hmm. We were just talking before we got on the podcast, right, about real estate investing and how like to me, it's a game. It's literally just a game. It's so much fun.
Yeah, for sure. Cool. So yeah, I mean, let's get a little bit deeper into your journey and your personal growth journey. So tell us a little bit about like the challenges that you've gone through to get to where you are and like some of the major lessons you've learned along that way.
Yeah. Let's see the challenges. If we want to go back to, because I've even done a speaking engagement on going from purposeless to purposeful. And I think it's something that, you know, doesn't get talked about enough because it's sort of, I guess maybe taboo or whatever you want to call it. But, you know, I come from a time where I was very clearly depressed, very clearly suicidal to the point where my friends would literally have to keep me away from any kind of a high place because they were afraid that I would probably jump. And it's very interesting to come from that kind of a place. And I think a lot of people, maybe not to that degree or maybe over that degree, face, you know, and it's this idea that you're basically facing death and the question of, you know, is it worth it to go on? And so I came, and the reason why this was a problem for me was I just didn't see what the point of life was. Now, I think everyone ends up having their own purpose and their own reason as to why, but some of the things that kept me going were, of course, one, that there are too many people that do care about me, and if I were to leave, it would be completely selfish and unfair to them. There's also the fact that I came to understand that life is what you make it, and of course, if you can come to life with a sense of joy and pleasure and fun and see the greatness in things and so on, and you simply change your perception on how you see life, it's impossible to want to take your own life and be in that sort of state, because there's just so much out there to love and appreciate and be grateful for. And then the other thing was just obviously, like, and this is difficult for a lot of young people, right? We get asked all the time, like, hey, what do you want to do when you want to be older? You know, who do you want? What do you want to be? And all these kinds of different things. And it becomes as if we don't answer that, we are nothing, or we are failures, or something of the kind. Like, if you can't answer that by the time you're 14 or 16 or 18 or whatever, you're behind, which is hilarious, because there are some people that don't find their purpose or their vision until they're like 30, 40, 50. They think they did it at 20 or whatever. But as life goes on and they have kids or something of the kind, their entire perception changes and they have an entire new purpose. So I think people just, what I'm trying to get at basically is, if you're in that space, have faith that your purpose will arrive, and it will arrive in its own due course. And it's your, you know, your duty or your responsibility or even just your pleasure to move forward until it lands upon your lap. So I think that's just one big thing, is having faith in that life will align for you. Other resistances, just things in terms of business, I guess. Let's see. Ego. That was a big one. I think entrepreneurs all have a bit of ego, which in healthy doses can be very powerful, of course, a very good tool to have in terms of just wanting to make you push forward and such. But ego can be also very evil. Ego can be the number one enemy to hold you back from success, because ego does not like hearing feedback, right? Ego does not like confessing to itself that you have failed or not done what you were supposed to do or something of the kind. It masks the reality of things. Ego will try to force recognition. Right, it will look for opportunities to try to, you know, find a reason that someone should recognize you or make you feel good or something of the kind. Whereas the fact is, recognition comes naturally if you've done great things. But if you have to actually ask for it or work for it in a sense, or go out and get it, then that's just your ego acting up, and you will leave a sour taste or a bitter taste in people's mouths when you're seeking recognition. And so ego is something that I think is very important to address, and something that I think I'll be working on for the rest of my life. I don't see how it's not something that will have to be addressed forever. Something that others could really directly learn from is a book, an incredible book called Ego is the Enemy by Ryan Holiday, I believe, which is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful book. He goes and talks about all the extremes of things and people in terms of how they've handled ego, such as, you know, Abe Lincoln, so on and so forth. So I think ego is another very big thing. It'll get in your way if that's what's motivating you. What are some other thoughts you think, Nika?
That's really interesting. How do you differentiate between like ego and like just being really ambitious and wanting to go for achievement? But kind of what I mean?
Yeah, like, for sure. It's like, what's motivating you kind of thing? Is it your ego, or is it or something like that? Or is ambition ego kind of thing, right?
What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so it's definitely a very challenging question. And it's a very big internal debate. Because the fact is, you know, as humans, we're always sort of seeking pleasure or avoiding pain, right? And so that's a fundamental truth. And ego, so let me think about this for a second, because I want to give as best an answer I can. Of course, whether it's right or not is another conversation. So I believe that ego, again, is looking out for itself and looking out for how it can take the most. That's what ego tries to do. It's always trying to, again, take more recognition, take more money, take more titles, take more pride, like all these things, right? Whereas ambition can be more mission-oriented or why-oriented, which is can be very irrelevant to the ego. So for example, you know, I want to speak on stage about X topic because I feel awesome when I'm on stage and everybody's looking at me. That is very obviously an ego play. And the way that you'll come off will be so much less impactful than if, say, you're going on stage to talk about XYZ. And your purpose is that you want to influence the people in the crowd to become better versions of themselves or something of the kind. Your energy will be entirely different. Your message, your words, your tonality, your body language, everything will be totally different. And so the difference between what I would say between ambition and ego is basically what is the goal of the thing you're looking to do? Is it, again, is it to achieve recognition? Is it to achieve a sense of belonging? Right? That's also another version of ego. Or is it to achieve a mission greater than yourself? Is it something that is going to make a difference irrelevant of you? Right? Something that is beside you, something, again, as I said, greater than yourself.
Right. And I think that's a really good way of looking at it for sure. It's like giving versus getting, in a sense. Mm-hmm. Giving value, that is. Awesome. For sure. So, in that kind of same line, what would you say motivates you? Like, what is your ultimate vision or mission you have on this planet?
Yeah, for sure. So what I've sort of come down to, this is a lot of different lessons that I've learned from a lot of different people. One of the things I really appreciated from Vishen Lakhiani, who wrote The Code to the Extraordinary Mind, he talks about means goals and the idea that goals should not be attached to something out of your control. So for example, I mean, an obvious one that we all would typically know is like, hey, I want to be a millionaire, right? I'll only be happy when I'm a millionaire or some crap like that. Obviously, that means that you're unhappy right now. and so legacy is also sort of along those lines in my, and your why, your motivation, all that kind of thing. So your motivation is typically attached to your legacy or the long-term why. And so the legacy I've sort of come to boil down is very simple in essence, but powerful in impact, which is that my goal or my legacy or how I want people to remember me is that in every single interaction that I ever have, I have brought someone up at least a little bit. And that is it. And so whether it's exponential or quantum leaps in terms of the interaction that I have, or even just as simple as leaving a smile on their face, I want to be remembered as someone who has brought someone, everybody up, even if it's just a little bit. And that motivates me. That excites me. When I have that effect on people, that makes me continue doing what I want to do. When I make a sale or I help somebody or all, so on and so forth, all these things, it comes back to that idea that it all relates to the fact that I am bringing somebody up. And that that to me is just so gratifying. And of course, again, so in my control, right? It's not dependent upon something else.
Awesome. That's beautiful, dude.
Thanks.
That's awesome. All right, cool. And on that beautiful note, we're getting kind of close to the end here. The last question that we ask everyone is, what advice would you give your younger self?
Let's see. What advice? The first one that comes to mind is, and I almost don't want to go with it because I almost feel like it's just too cliche, but at the same time, what's common sense is not typically common practice. So I think I'm just going to go with it, which is just get started now. So this is that simple, right? It's, again, Avoid the paralysis by analysis. Avoid all that kind of crap. And just like, if you've got even the inkling of something, you're not, it doesn't even matter how unsure you are. Just like, man, just go for it. And you'd be shocked at how incredibly well the universe comes into alignment once you make 100% decision. Mm-hmm. And that's key, is that 100% decision, because the universe only responds to specificity. And if you're unspecific or indecisive or whatever, things cannot align for you. So just do it. Or, of course, quote unquote, fuck it.
Yeah, That makes so much sense, dude. Like literally, when I, as soon as I quit my job, like all these other things started coming to me that I've been like waiting for. Mm-hmm. Like, thank you.
Yeah, no, I'm sure that you're a perfect example of that. It's just, there's so much power in making a full on decision, and it's beautiful.
Yeah. Sweet. Thank you. Well, thank you for this awesome podcast. Mm-hmm. If people want to learn more about you, get more information on what you're up to, where can they find you?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm most active on Facebook. I'm trying to get my Instagram game up, but that's what my brand manager is helping me with right now. But so on Facebook, easiest way to find me, Oliver Wolf. I've got a picture of me smiling, which is typical. and then other than that, I mean, there's obviously my email. So oliverwolf@thewolfsyndicate.com. If anyone's interested in just conversing or having a chat, I love connecting and connecting with people. It's one of the fastest ways to grow and expand is through other people's paradigms and through mentorship and all that. So, hey, I'm sure I can learn something from you, and I'm sure you can learn something from me.
Awesome. Thank you again so much for being on.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Young and Ambitious podcast. If you enjoyed it, please consider leaving us a review on iTunes. It really helps us get this out there and impacting more lives. Now, make sure to also take a screenshot and tag @Nithimoini and @ThePositivityBoss on your podcast. And make sure to join the Young Bosses Collective Facebook group, where we have a community of young, ambitious people all supporting each other. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I will see you next time. Bye.